want you to turn with me, if you will, to the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. We're going to look in verse 19. I want to use a few different translations. It'll help bring it out, make it a little bit more clear to us. Psalm 34 and verse 19. David is speaking and he says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Notice that. Praise God. The Lord delivers them, the righteous, out of them all. Hallelujah. Notice he says, though, that many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, it's amazing to me that we think that we can live by faith and never have a problem in our life. How many of you found out the storms, tests, and trials come to all of us? Anybody here besides me experienced a storm this week? Amen. Come on. And so many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, the Amplified Bible says it this way: many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Notice that. Many evils confront the consistently righteous. Consistently righteous. What does that mean? That means you don't have to be out of God's will to be tested. Anybody ever found out that you can be smack dab consistently in right standing, doing what God told you to do, and the devil will still throw a storm on you? Come on, that's the way of life. Life is filled with storms. It's filled with tests. It's filled with trials. It's filled with things attacking us. Amen. Psalm 34, 19 in the Message Bible says, disciples so often get into trouble, still God is there every time. Amen. So sometimes, you know, based on that translation, we get ourselves in trouble. Amen. How many of you know that if you're driving down the road and it says detour to your right, road out ahead, you don't want to go straight ahead? But how many of you found out sometimes people don't believe the signs and they go down and find out the road's out and have to turn back around, they're in trouble? Sure. Well, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. Not that we're trying to, but sometimes we just kind of fall into a situation. Amen? Amen. So it happens. Psalm 34, 19, the Good News Bible says, good people suffer many troubles. Notice that. Good people suffer many troubles, but the Lord saves them from them all. So out of looking to these different translations, I find this: the consistently righteous, those who are living for God, those who are disciples of the Lord, those who are good people, sometimes have bad things attack them. Amen? Amen. See, a lot of times I think when we get to teaching on faith, we think, well, if I just learn how to live by faith like the Bible says and learn how to use my faith, I'll never have another problem. I'll just walk in victory all the time. But you know, in Mark 11, 22 and 23, the Lord Jesus dispels that theory. He said in verse 22 to the disciples, have faith in God. Then he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, amen. I mean, he said, have faith in God so you can move mountains out of your life. Amen. In other words, he says, the reason you need to live by faith is there are going to be some mountains in your way. There are going to be some obstacles come your way. There are going to be some tests come your way. There are going to be some storms that are going to blow in and cause you problems. Amen. But thank God, David says, the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that no matter what's coming your way, God has your deliverance for you? Amen. And you know, it's amazing to me. I got to looking at this psalm, and David here in the 19th verse says, there are many evils, afflictions, and tests, and troubles, and, you know, struggles come upon the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But verse 1, you know what David said? He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then he gets down to verse 19, says, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hallelujah. You know what David is saying? He's saying, I don't care whether you're in a storm or you're on a sunny day, your attitude ought to be exalting the Lord, praising the Lord, magnifying the Lord, exalting the Lord, singing his praises, and celebrating life. Amen? In fact, I'm going to be real honest with you. If you don't learn how to celebrate in a storm, you probably aren't going to have many days of celebration. Come on, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm preaching the truth to you. Amen. See, a lot of times people want everything to be just wonderful before they're going to praise God. They just want it to be easy and everything's good, then I'm going to celebrate. But David said the Lord's praises is going to be continually in his mouth. Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? So he says here that we're going to face some storms. We're going to face some struggles. We're going to face some things that are going to try our faith. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, here's a revelation that comes to me. If the Lord is delivering me out of the storm, he's not the cause of the storm. Well, come on, give me a good amen. Amen. Because Jesus taught that a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. So if the Lord's causing the storm, and then the Lord delivers you out of the storm, he's against himself. Isn't that right? So in fact, James chapter 1, James says over there, he says, when you find yourself in a test, don't say it's God doing it to you. Because God doesn't throw those kind of tests of evil and struggles and storms and problems in your life. Amen? That's why David is saying in this 34th Psalm, I'm going to keep the praise of God in my mouth all the time. I'm going to magnify God all the time. Come on and join in with me and let's sing praises unto God. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many storms, tests, and trials are going to come, good people. But you know what? The Lord's going to deliver us out of us all. Because the Lord's not the cause of the problem. The Lord is the answer to the problem. Hallelujah. And I don't care how that storm is blowing and which way it's coming, the Lord already has deliverance for me out of that storm. Praise God. Now look in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Paul says some things over here that's interesting. Goes right along with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll read it out of the New King James first. In verses 12 and 13, after he gets through talking about the failures of the children of God in the wilderness, you know, they had failures there when, you know, they and many of them fell before they finally submitted to Moses, you know. But anyway, he says here in verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You know what he's talking about? He's saying, you need to take heed to yourself and don't get all pride and uppity just because you're walking in victory. Because around the next corner might be something that'll cause you to fall. Amen? Amen? Come on, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, don't you allow yourself to think that you've got control of this thing. Lord. I don't need the Lord, I've got this. No, you don't. Amen. You better get yourself lined up with him. And then he tells you what you need to do. Verse 13, no temptation. Everybody say no temptation. If no temptation, that means there's none. Isn't that right? No means none. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, you know what he's saying here? He's saying this, that the Lord knows that you're going to be tempted, tested, and tried. But when those temptations, tests, and trials, those storms of life come upon you, you need to realize that the Lord has already, in the midst of that storm, provided a miracle of escape and victory for you to come out of it. Amen. You know, you could tie this right in with Isaiah 54, where God says over there, and it's verses 16 and 17, he says, I made the smith that forges the weapons. And then he goes to the next verse and says, therefore, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because the Lord says, I know what the devil can forge against you, and I've already got an answer to anything he can throw at you. Amen. Amen. And so Paul is writing to us here, and he's saying, listen, he says, you always need to put your trust in the Lord and not trust in yourself, because with every test and storm and trial that's come your way, the Lord has already provided a way for you to get out of that thing. Hallelujah. There is a path that will get you through the storm and over to the other side of victory. Praise God. In fact, the Amplified reads it like this. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. What's he saying? The devil cannot go out here and find something he's never used and use it against you. When you're finding yourself in a storm or a test, have you ever found yourself thinking, I'm the only one that's ever had to go through this? Why me, Lord? No, you're not the only one. It's common to everybody. Amen. Somebody else is going through something else. I mean, you know, your storm might just be rain and lightning. Somebody else's might be wind and hail, but it's a storm. Amen. And it's trying to come to destroy you. So he says this, that is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. Notice that? It's not beyond human resistance. That means you can win this storm. It's not stronger than you, praise God. And that is not adjusted and adapted to belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. You know what he's saying? The devil can't hit you with anything that you can't come through. Hallelujah. Come on, church, that's good news today. Then he says, but God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, I don't know if what storm you're going through today. I prayed and the Lord led me to preach this message, and he said, anybody that's going through a storm, he said, I want you to show them how they can get to the other side. He said, but the first thing you've got to lay out is this: I'm not the one that's caused the storm. I'm not the one to put them into trouble. I'm not the cause of their problem. I am the answer to their problem. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, with whatever it is that the enemy is attacking them with, I've already provided a way for them to get out. Hallelujah. Amen. If sickness in your body, he's already provided a way to get healed. If it's a financial thing, he's already provided provision for you to pay the bills. Amen. If it's a relationship thing, he's already provided the healing to heal the hurts. Glory to God. Whatever it is that you're going through, the storm does not have more power than your God in you. Amen. Now let's go ahead and read on. He says this, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always, always, always also provide the way out. Whoo, glory to God. The means of escape to a landing place. Glory to God. Amen. We ought to be spiritual cats. What's that mean? We always land on our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what he's saying to you? He's saying you may not know how the outcome's going to be, but the Lord's going to give you a good landing. Hallelujah. You're not going to land beat up, defeated on your head. You're going to land on your feet. He's going to land you in a good place if you'll keep your eyes on him. Amen. Let's read it again. He will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place. Why? That you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. You know what he's saying? He's saying you can outlast your storm. You can walk in victory right in the midst of your storm. Are you listening to me? You should not be waiting till your healing manifests to sing praises unto God. You should be singing praises to God through the battle of getting your healing. Amen. We shared during the praise service from over in 2 Chronicles about Jehoshaphat and that group. They didn't wait till the enemy was defeated before they went out and started singing, "The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." They went out and sang first. They sang while the enemy was still armed and dangerous. They sung the songs of praise and worship unto God while the enemy was sharpening their swords. Right in the midst of the storm, they began to sing and praise God. Why? Because they knew that God would honor his word and provide a way for them to escape and have a landing for them. Hallelujah. And instead of the storm destroying them, they went out and gathered up the spoil and left the fields rich. Hallelujah. You know what that means? God wants to turn what the devil meant for your bad into your good. And instead of you coming out beat down and beat up, he wants you to come out victorious and more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. See, that's why Paul says, don't think in yourself. Don't stand there and get all haughty and say, I can handle this. You can't. You can't handle it in yourself. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see that thing that the devil meant for your bad turn for your good, and you can come out of that thing victorious. You can come out blessed. You can come out celebrating. You can come out showing other people how to get through it. Hallelujah. And God getting the glory. But you see, here's the thing. If you're in a storm today, you're going to have to get your eyes off the storm and find Jesus in the midst of your storm. Amen. I don't know what storm you're going through right now, but Jesus is right there in the middle of that somewhere. Are you listening to me? Now, you may have to do like the Apostle Paul. You know, they were a couple weeks through that storm there on that boat, and Paul finally got himself away from everybody, found him some kind of a room off, and got in there and prayed until he got a word from the Lord. And as soon as he came out and got that word, you know, the people didn't worry about the storm. They didn't worry about being shipwrecked. They didn't worry about the waves. Why? Because they were trusting the Lord, because Paul had found Jesus in the midst of his storm. See, a lot of us, the reason we're struggling today is we haven't found the Lord in our storm. All we're seeing is the storm. All we're feeling is the battling of the waves and the wind and the tossing and the fears and the doubts and the worries and the symptoms and the problems. But what you've got to do is this. You've got to get your eyes off of all that is going on around you and start looking, because you see, what you need to do as a believer, you need to come and say, you know what? Mr. Devil, I know you're making it real big and real evident that you're attacking me from all sides. But somewhere here, Jesus is. And just as soon as I spot Jesus, I'm coming out of this thing. Hallelujah. Because the Lord said with every storm that you throw at me, he would be there to get me out of it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, you're here somewhere. You're in the midst of this thing somewhere. Lord, right now, you didn't cause it. You're not the one that's causing it. You're not the one keeping me in it. But you're here with me somewhere. And Lord, just as soon as I see you and discern you, I am coming out of the storm. Hallelujah. I'm getting to the other side. You said you would have a landing place for me. And I'm going to get there. Amen. Now, I want you to go to Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to give you 7 steps to overcoming your storm. Anybody here want to get some steps in that'll help you to get through your storm? Simple things here in Matthew chapter 14. This is the story where Peter is walking on water. Hallelujah. See, you know, I look at it differently. Everybody says, you know, Peter went out there and sunk. No, he didn't. He walked on water. As far as I know, he's the only person besides Jesus ever walked on water. And when I get to heaven, Peter's going to come up and give me a hug and say, thank you for standing up for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'd rather walk on water and sink down to my ankles and let the Lord help me back up than never tried it before. Amen. No, look what he says here. Let's read these 7 steps. I'm going to just break it down. You know the story. They get to the other side. But I'm going to show you these 7 steps to finding Jesus in your storm and letting him help you to overcome that storm. Look what he says here in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice here that the Lord Jesus has put the disciples in a boat and told them to go to the other side. Amen. And he goes and disperses the crowds. And you got to remember now, this is right on the heels of the Lord Jesus feeding the multitudes. They've just seen the miracle power of God. Amen. They've just saw the Lord take a few fish and loaves and just absolutely, you know, minister to over 5,000 people and just do a great thing. And so the Lord then, after the miracle's done, puts the disciples in the boat and tells them to go to the other side. Now let's read on verse 23. And when he had sent the disciples, or the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening was come, he was there alone. And now the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now, notice here, step one is this. If you're going to walk in victory, and you're going to see God do a great and mighty thing in this thing, recognize this, that the storms are going to come to try to stop you from having and doing what Jesus said. See, in verse 22, the disciples have his word of direction. He said, go to the other side. Notice he didn't say, go out in the middle of the lake and drown. And let me ask you this. Do you think that the Lord maybe knew that there might be a storm blow up? And yet he told them to get in the boat and go to the other side? You ever thought that maybe the Lord, looking ahead, knows that you're going to face some storms this week, but yet he tells you to go ahead and believe him, walk in victory, and sing praises, and trust him? Amen. Now, the first thing is this. They get the word of direction from God. But then after they get that word of direction, you need to understand that the enemy is going to step up and he's going to try to throw a storm your way to keep you from fulfilling that which the Lord has called you to do. In other words, the Lord spoke to you as your healer. The devil's going to throw sickness your way. The Lord said he's going to be your provider. He's going to throw debt your way. The Lord says he's going to be your peace. He's going to throw turmoil and all kinds of crazy things your way. The enemy's going to find a storm to try to counter the word. Why? Because in Mark chapter 4, the Bible says that the sower sows the word and the devil comes immediately to steal it out of your heart. So you need to recognize the moment you step out to fulfill God's will, there's probably going to be a storm come your way. Amen. The enemy's not just going to get out of the way and let you do it. Verse 22 says that Jesus said to them, go to the other side. Then verse 23, it says that Jesus went up on the mountain and prayed. You know what's so great about this? The Lord will never tell you to do something and leave you on your own to do it for yourself. What do you think he was praying? He was praying for them. He sent them forth. And so if the Lord gives you a word, he's going to oversee that word. He's responsible for that word. Hebrews 7:25 says he ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God that we might be saved to the uttermost. You know what that means? That means the Lord is always keeping us covered. Amen? If the Lord has spoken something to you, he's covering you in that. Amen. He's watching over you to see that it works in your life. Now, notice here in verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, between 4 and 6 in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Hallelujah. Now, let's see something's going on here. Notice this. Number one, they've been given a word from the Lord. And as they step out to do that word and act on that word in faith, here comes a storm. The boat's being tossed. In other words, it's not going smoothly. Amen? They're toiling. They're struggling to get to where God told them to get. Anybody besides me ever been in that situation? You're halfway there. They're out in the middle of the sea. They're halfway there, and they're struggling, and they have been battling to get that way. Have you ever believed God, and you battled, and it's been hard, and it's been contrary, and circumstances don't go your way, and you just, and you about, you know, and you don't realize you're halfway to your victory, but you start getting so tired and aggravated and frustrated that you're about ready to quit. Okay, that's where the disciples are. They've got the word. They're not out of God's will. They're out here doing what the Lord told them to do. And here they are struggling. But now look what happens. Here comes Jesus. The Bible says in verse 25 again, now in the fourth watch, about 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord Jesus went to them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. What's the second step that you're going to have to do is this, is you're going to have to find Jesus and recognize Jesus in your storm. Notice that the Lord Jesus is walking to them. Why? Because he said, in the midst of the temptation, test, and trial, I've already provided a way of escape for you. Amen? Huh? Notice what David said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So here they are in the storm. The waves are beating against them. The wind is blowing against them. Everything's against them. And they're out there doing what the Lord told them to do. They're not out of God's will. Folks, listen, just because you're in a storm doesn't mean you're out of God's will. It probably means you're in God's will. How many of you heard this lie? Well, if you was in God's will and if it was really God's word, you wouldn't be having all these problems. Huh? Come on now. No, you're having all these problems because the devil is a thief that comes to steal the word out of your heart and to counter everything that the Lord's told you to do. But praise God, Jesus said that he would deliver us from that struggle and from that storm. And so here comes the Lord Jesus to them. But guess what? They're having a hard time discerning if it's Jesus or not. Why? Because they're all caught up in the storm. Have you ever been into the storm to the point where you didn't know if it was the Lord talking to you or not? I don't know if this is Jesus or not. This could be the Lord. Then it could be a ghost. It could not be God. God, how do I know if it's you? How do I discern if it's you? How did they discern it was Jesus? And Jesus said to them, peace, it's me, peace. Peace, be still. In other words, he says, don't be afraid. You know how you discern if it's the Lord? The moment that you know the Lord is leading you and speaking to you, it'll bring peace into your heart. The fear of the storm will leave you. Are you hearing me? See, if it's the devil, it will produce more fear, it'll produce more turmoil, it'll produce whatever. But you know what? When you listen to that still small voice down on the inside of you, it'll cause peace in your heart. Amen. So the second thing you got to do is this. You have to discern the Lord's voice. And the way you discern the Lord's voice is that you recognize that he will bring peace in the midst of your storm. Amen. Now, notice this. If you stay in fear, you'll never recognize the Lord in your storm. They were troubled and greatly afraid, and they didn't know if it was God or not. If you continue to let fear dominate you, the storm's going to continue to dominate you. See, the reason the Lord's coming to you is to stir you back up in faith to get you to believing that you can get to the other side. Are you with me? And so they're having a struggle. Why? Because they've got to decide whether or not I'm going to have faith or I'm going to stay in fear. Am I going to cut my eyes on Jesus and trust this is the word of the Lord, or am I going to continue to fight and trust in my own self? That's why Paul said not to think more highly of yourself and think that you can stand, because you can't. You better take heed lest you fall. In other words, you better listen to the Lord. You better listen to what he's saying. You better discern Jesus in the midst of this thing. And the Lord, when he begins to speak his word to you, is going to strike peace and faith. Anytime the Lord gives you a word, faith will rise up in your heart. Now, how many of you found out that you can have faith in your heart and fear in your head? Because in that boat, there's faith and fear operating. Just because you get a word from the Lord in your storm and faith rises up doesn't mean fear is going to get out of the boat. Why? Because fear is going to try to get you not to receive the word of the Lord. So you're going to have to make a decision now. Am I going to go with the Lord's word and trust him and have peace? Or am I going to stay in turmoil and fight the wind and the sea myself? I'm going to trust the Lord. That's what the Apostle Peter does. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice here in verses 27 and 28, I believe is where we're at. He says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, see, when the Lord speaks to you, you know what you need to do? You need to answer him. Amen. And it's amazing to me. Look what Peter does. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Notice this, that Peter asked the Lord a question. He says, Lord, I just need you to confirm this is your word. How many of you found out that God doesn't get mad at you if you ask him to confirm in your heart that it's him who's talking to you? Amen. There are times, folks, that I have taken a little extra time to wait on the Lord to confirm that what I'm hearing is God. Because you see, I'm surrounded by storm. I'm surrounded by adverse circumstances. I'm surrounded by struggle. I'm surrounded by fear. I'm surrounded by things that's trying to keep me from doing what God told me I could do and having what God said I can have. And now here comes the Lord right to me in the midst of that thing, because he said with every test and trial, he would be in the middle of it so I could have a way of escape. And now the Lord speaks to me. You know what I do? I'm kind of like Peter. Lord, I want to make sure this is you before I step out here. Amen. And so you know what happens next? Verse 28. Verse 29. So he, Jesus, said to Peter, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, what is the third and fourth step? You see, the first step is recognize the storms are going to come to try to stop you from doing and having what God told you to do. Number two, you need to find and recognize Jesus in the midst of your storm. You need to discern the Lord. He's there. You got to get to him and get a word from him. Amen. And then the third one is this. You got to do what Peter did. You got to receive his word. Amen. Verse 20. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter jumps down out of the boat. Praise God. You know what he did? He received that word. Right now, Peter's not concentrating on the waves. He's not concentrating on the wind. He's not concentrating on the storm. He's not concentrating on the fact that it's 4 o'clock in the morning, a desolate time. Anybody ever realized and found out that a lot of times your attacks come at the midnight hour or sometime in the early mornings when nobody's around and it's just you and your thoughts and all this stuff? Come on, anybody besides me? Have you found out the devil doesn't normally show up at noon? But right there, whenever there's nothing around, when you're laying there in your thoughts, that's when the storm is raging in your mind. And that's whenever, if you get quiet and listen and look, here comes Jesus right in the midst of that storm. And you know what? Whenever he speaks to you, the first thing he's going to say to you is, get out of fear, because you can't walk with me in fear. You need to get rid of the fear of dying, the fear of going under, the fear of not making it, the fear of failure, the fear of what people think about you, the fear of everybody's attitude around you, the fear of the last report you got. You need to get fear off of you and cast it down right now and put your eyes on me and listen to what I have to say. And you have to make your decision. Am I going to continue to be eat up with my storm and stay in fear? Or am I going to listen to that one word from Jesus and get over into faith? Because Jesus is now telling me to come to him. Hallelujah. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hook up with me. I've come to you. Now you come to me. Praise God. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus has come to them, but now he's asking Peter to come to him. Meaning what? Let's join together. Just don't let me be the one doing it. You had to work with me on this. So the third thing is this. Peter receives the word. But there's the fourth step, and it's found right there in verse 29. Peter gets down off the boat and acts on the word. Hallelujah. Guess what, church? You have to act on the word. You have to be a doer of the word. You just can't get a word from God in the storm and then not act upon the word. You got to do it. Peter gets down out of the boat. Let's read it in verse 29. It says this, or verse 28. Yeah, verse 29 says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But now look what happens here in verse 30. See, a lot of times we got the word. We're walking on water. Hallelujah. Storms are raging, but man, I'm telling you what, I'm walking in victory. I'm celebrating. I'm feeling better. The symptoms have lifted. The circumstances are changing. God has touched me. Hallelujah. And then you're out here walking on that word, trusting God, and guess what? Step number four, be ready for Satan's counterattack. With fear, symptoms, and bad reports. Look what happens to Peter. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now, notice something here in this fifth thing. Peter's out here, and the storm hasn't stopped, but Peter's got his eyes on Jesus, and right in the midst of the storm, he's gotten a word from the Lord, because the Lord has come to provide for him a way of escape so he can get out of that thing. And so now he's hooking up with Jesus. He's going to Jesus, but how many of you found out that you can be going and walking in victory, and the storm's been raging, and it didn't look like you was going to make it, but now all of a sudden, things are getting better, and symptoms are lifting, and the reports are getting better, and then you're walking along, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a bad report. Or boom, some situation shows back up again. Or a symptom sets itself to come back up again. When I was studying this out, the Lord said, tell my people not to let a bad day sink your faith. Tell my people not to let a bad day sink your faith. You started in the right direction. Stay with it. Hallelujah. See, Peter got his eyes off of Jesus and back on his problems. Why? Because how many of you, you know, that you've gotten bad reports, you're in the midst of a storm, and then you come and you get the word, and for a couple days, everything's good. And you're going along, and about the time in your mind you think, I've got it made. Bam, something hits you. And the enemy throws something back at you. Or here comes a bad report, or here comes a circumstance, or here comes a sin, and it revives what you've been going through, and all of a sudden the devil makes that storm real in your life again. It didn't change Jesus. It didn't change his word. The only thing it changed was what Peter was doing. Peter got out of faith and back over into fear. The counterattack is to get you out of faith and back into fear so that the storm can finish its job and stop you from having what God said you can have. So don't let a bad day sink your faith. So how am I going to stop my faith from sinking? Look at what happens here in verse 30. And immediately he said, verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Notice, again, when I studied this out, the Lord said, notice that Peter didn't say, the storm's raging, Lord. Notice he didn't say, Lord, I got hit with another wave. Lord, I thought you told me to come to you, but it's gotten worse. No, you know what he said? Lord, save me. You know what that means? He said, Lord, you told me to come to you. Now you make this word work in my life. Hallelujah. I'm keeping my eyes on you. Lord, watch over your word and make it work in my life. I'm not giving up on the word. Lord, save me. You told me to come to you, and you wouldn't ask me to come to you if you didn't want me to come to you. Lord, get me to you. Hallelujah. You know what Peter did? Right in the midst of his fear, he cried out for Jesus to help him to stand strong in his faith. Fear's working on one side, faith is on the other. You're having a battle and you're starting to get relief and things are starting to break loose. Don't let that bad situation get you back to where you doubt the Lord. That's when you run to the Lord even stronger. That's when you cry out to him even more and you ask him to help you. Why? Because he's your deliverer. He's the one who's going to get you to the other side. Amen. He's the one who's going to confirm his word in your life. So Peter, he cries out to the Lord, and the Lord does what? Let's read on down here. And when and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Hallelujah. So what's your answer here? What's step number six? Look to Jesus and call out to him, and don't you dare quit. I don't care if it looks like it's getting worse. You got a word from the Lord, and that is you're going to get to the other side. Amen? Don't you dare quit. In fact, call out on the Lord even more. Why would you just quit and give up and give in because a symptom hit you again? Or a bad report came, or you're having a bad day, or things are trying to come against you. Why would you quit? Don't quit. In that moment in time, that's when you need to cry out to the Lord and trust him with all your heart and say, Lord, I only way I'm going under is if you let me go under. And I want to tell you something, folks. The Bible says that the Lord watches over his word to perform it. Amen, Jeremiah 1:12. So therefore, guess what? You need to say, Lord, you got to help me with this thing. See, I think a lot of times, folks, we think that faith is us just being tough. I ain't moving. I'm in faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes what you need to do is say, Lord, I am about to crash and burn. You need to help me real big. Come on. Now, you're hearing that from a guy that's lived and taught faith for 40 years, okay? Huh? Lord, I need you now more than I've ever needed you. I'm telling you what, we're halfway through this battle. I'm out here on the water in my faith. And Lord, I'm you know, and people say, well, Peter got out of the boat and sank. Listen, the Bible says, and Jesus reached out and grabbed him. You know what? Peter was within arm's length. Have you ever noticed that your worst battle is right before you get it? Come on. You know where Peter's at? Stand up here, Tony. Let me tell you something. Stand up. Peter has started off, and Jesus said, come, and Peter is right here. He's not over here struggling on some wave. Peter has got out of the boat and has gotten all the way over, and just as he's about to reach out and touch Jesus, he gets smacked in the face with a wave, and he goes, oh, I can't walk on water. What was I thinking? I'm not that big a faith person. How can I believe I can? I mean, oh God. I mean, all these doubts and all these insecurities, all this stuff hits him right in the face. And he's right here. And so instead of then giving up, you know what Peter does? He goes, Jesus, help me! You know what the Lord did? He was this close. He reached out and grabbed him, lifted him up, and walked him back to the boat. Yeah. Why? Because the Lord was saying, I always wanted you to be with me. Let me walk you anyway. I never, ever wanted you to have to walk on that water by yourself. I was in the midst of this storm. I've just been waiting on you to get close enough to me so that I could put my hand upon you and walk you through this thing. Hallelujah. Thank you. Are you listening to me? See, this is the thing, folks. God's not asking you to fight your storms by yourself. The Lord delivers them out of them all. But with every test, the Lord provides a way of escape. What He's wanting you to do is get to Him, to the place that He can put His hand out and grab you and be your strength. You know what He did? He walked Peter right back, and they got up in the boat. And you know what happened whenever they got Jesus in the boat with them? Let's read the next verse. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. You know what your seventh step is? Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They gave Him all the glory. They gave Him all the glory. What's your seventh step? Praise God and worship Him and give Him all the glory. Amen. What are those seven steps? Number one is recognize that storms are going to come to try to stop you from having God's will and God's way in your life. Be ready for storms. Amen. Number two, find and recognize Jesus in your storm. Number three, receive His word. When you're seeking Him in that storm and He speaks to you, you receive that word. Number four, act on that word. Use your faith. Act upon that word. Number five, be ready for Satan's counterattacks. Just because you got a word from the Lord doesn't mean the devil's going to quit. Amen? That storm's still blowing, so keep standing. Don't let a bad day sink your faith. Amen? Number six, look to Jesus and call out to Him. Ask Him to be the strength and the one that's going to make that word work in your life. And then finally, number seven, worship the Lord Jesus and give Him thanks for your miracle and praise Him. You know, it's amazing that a lot of people think, well, the devil is just trying to destroy those disciples in that boat. But you know what happens when they get to the other side? Just if you're curious, I just wasn't in my notes. But let's read these next three verses here. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent out into all the surrounding regions and brought to Him all who were sick and begged Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as He touched, they were made perfectly well. You see, the reason the Lord wants to get you through your storm is not just for your sake, but for those that you're going to be able to minister to when you come out of it. A lot of people's lives can be changed and influenced by you trusting the Lord through your storm. Amen? Amen? Every victory you and I receive is not just a victory for us. It's a victory for everybody that we're going to be able to share it with. And an encouragement to them. Amen?